Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Thomas Blau, and I'm friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today, I am joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott, the prior of St. Patrick's, and Father Charles Schank, one of our assistants. Let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, we're going to look at a neat little insight about Our Lady, about Mary. And it came to me because of my family sitting around, and we were looking at family photos. And we're looking at who is in the photos and taking time to really identify all the people in the photos. And it occurred to me then that if you were sitting with your family, looking at all the family photos, and you started noticing a guy in a funny hat, and he was there in one photo, and then the guy is in another photo, and in another time, he's there in another photo. And all of a sudden, you find out that this guy with the funny hat, kind of like Cat in the Hat, you know, this guy with the funny hat is in a ton of your family photos. The normal person would say, who is this and what's going on? He has to be someone important because he shows up in all the photos. There's something going on here. And so when you look at the snapshots of our family photos, the incidents in the scriptures, you keep seeing someone who shows up over and over and over again. In the same way that it says, hey, something's going on here. You just can't ignore who this person is. Figure out why the scripture writers are presenting this person over and over and over. And so that person is Mary. If you look at the family photos of our faith, Our Lady somewhere is showing up in all these events. And so that's what we're going to go over today, is these are like family photos, and we're just going to walk through them and say, look where Our Lady is here. And to say this, maybe it'll teach us something. Minimally, it'll say that she is all over the family photos of Christianity.
I like that. I like that, Father Tom, because it accords with Mary's humility, you know. Because oftentimes she's in the background.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. In these photos, she's in the background. But her presence is very significant and important, even though she doesn't say much or maybe doesn't say anything at all. Again, as you say, the fact that she shows up over and over again, it's like, something's up here.
What's going on with this?
Yeah, and she's not the kind to take a selfie, as they call it. Mary has no selfie stick.
Yes, yeah, there was no selfie attitude.
She does not
attitude.
Own one, has never had one, and never will.
There might be a good example there to follow. So one of the first family photos is the family tree. I know someone who actually has a photograph, and it's their family tree. It's made up on the wall. And so when you look at Jesus and the genealogies, Mary's there. She shows up in the family tree. That's significant. That's like, wow, okay. She's just not thrown in. Now, you take that one. If that was the only one, it would be like all those other names on the family tree. You'd have to do work to figure out why is she there. But she shows up. Then, the next thing moving forward in the family history, the angel Gabriel's sent. And he is sent to a virgin, Mary. And so she shows up again. Our Lady shows up in the family photo, the Annunciation, where God the Father sends the angel to announce that his son is coming. And Mary's there.
And the very significant, I think, here is that the angel more or less, or it's implied at least, that the whole plan of God's salvation rests on Mary's consent. You know, let it be done to me according to thy word. As if, you know, she could have not said that, you know. so that's tremendously significant, you know. And we know that angels, throughout Scripture, angels are only sent to people when God has something very significant, important, great in store, right? This person is being used as his instrument, right? In his providence, in his plan of salvation, and Mary has to say yes.
It's like, and we as Catholics know, how does she rate? We're God the Father's messenger. I had a messenger almost run into me a couple of weeks ago between law firms. Sometimes they have to get a signature on a contract, so they give it to a crazy person on a bike to go right through the center of traffic in Columbus to get it over there immediately for a blue ink signature. And so you, as a messenger, you're not allowed to change the message. So the angel coming from God came to her, and the words he speaks, hail. Hail's used, it's never said of a human person in Scripture. It's that ice stuff, or it's Mary, or it's soldiers saying, hail, King of the Jews. It's a formal royal greeting. This angel says it to her, and he waits around. Angels never wait around for people in Scripture.
Yeah.
They blast you, and they get going. So, but he waits around and only leaves after she gives her consent.
Yeah, and they certainly don't say things like, full of grace.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They basically, you know, if you look at the encounters with angels in Scripture, usually they just say, this is what's going to happen. I was sent by God to tell you what's going to happen.
Right? Yes.
And as you said, they get out of there. But he says, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. This is a very deferential language to a human being.
To a human being. Only one in Scripture. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and also, when we see that Mary could show up in that family photo of the Annunciation, we realize that she represents more than just herself. She's, you know, our Dominican blessed painter Fra Angelico has a number of paintings of the Annunciation, and at least one of them, he has the angel coming to Mary, but in the background, often one corner, you see Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Paradise. So he's purposely making that connection visually, that Mary is the new Eve. God created the first man and the first woman, and Eve became the mother of all of the living. But yet, because of her and Adam's sin, everyone had to leave paradise. And Mary is now saying yes to God, where Eve said no, where Adam said no. And so through Mary's yes, and through Christ, who is the new Adam, you know, and his yes to the Father upon the cross, now, Mary is now representing not just herself, but really she becomes the mother of all of those who have been reborn in her Son.
Excellent. The to move on in the family photos, the next is, of course, the Incarnation. You know, we celebrate the Incarnation and the birth of Jesus, two distinct events, and the Incarnation on March 25th at the Annunciation, when she said, yes, the Word was engendered, you know. Then 9 months later, on December 25th, we have his birth, his nativity. The Incarnation being that him putting aside his glory in the same way he would do that on the cross, but we're rushing ourselves. So then those are the next two family photos. One is the Incarnation. The next is the birth, the nativity of Jesus. And Mary, of course, is there giving birth without any detriment physically to her that came through original sin.
Yeah, the lovely little detail that I believe Luke gives us there is that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know, that's just one of those, it's like, how did that get put in there unless it was, you know, a verbal report from someone who actually witnessed it, right? That she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know?
And which shows us so much of Luke, and it'd be interesting Bible study, so much of Luke, the origin of that would have to have come from Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading Luke, you're reading a lot of his interview probably with Our Lady. So beyond the family tree, the Annunciation, Incarnation, then the birth, the Nativity, Mary immediately takes off after hearing the message of the angel on the Visitation. And she goes to serve. And that in itself is pretty amazing. And what Elizabeth says to her, under the Holy Spirit, it says under the Holy Spirit. So you have God the Father sending the angel with a message and the Holy Spirit influencing Elizabeth to say, and pretty amazing. You are listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Thomas Blau, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Charles Schunk. We've been discussing a neat way of looking at Our Lady called the family photos. And if you look at all the big events in Scripture, what you're finding is there's a person that is there in some way involved, and that person is Mary. And so we talked about she's present in the family tree. She's present in the Annunciation. She's present, of course, in the Incarnation and the birth of our Lord 9 months later. And now we say she's present at the Visitation. For some reason, that visit was seen as so important because of what was said there that it is included in Scripture. Very soon after that, the flight to Egypt. She's present, of course, at the flight to Egypt when through an angel, again, St. Joseph had four angel messages given to him, only one in Scripture with that. She went to Egypt to avoid the massacre of the children in Bethlehem. Yeah. Next, after that, there's this temple stuff with our Lord. And so he is presented in the temple. It mentions that. And Our Lady's there, of course. And then a few years later, he's found. And it talks about their concern for him.
Three days later, right?
3 days later.
Okay. I think you said a few years. Getting confused?
No, he was 12-ish.
Right.
So, and then for a few days, they were concerned about it.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. 12 years later.
He wasn't lost for 12 years.
12 years in the temple.
Poor Mary and Joseph.
Oh, my golly. Hey, but they never gave in. Yes. He was a few years later after the flight from Egypt.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay. They went to the temple.
Great.
Presentation, she is present. The finding of Jesus in the temple where he reasserts that I've come to be in my Father's temple.
Yeah.
He reasserts that his Father is God the Father and Saint Joseph is a faithful guardian.
And just to pause here for a second. With the Visitation, we see Mary is a woman of action, right? Immediately after she gets this news, what does she do? She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth and on a mission of charity, really, because the angel has told her, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant, right? Who she shouldn't be because she's too old to have a child.
Yeah.
And immediately Mary sets out to visit her. And then, these are very, so what I'm trying to say here is they give us glimpses into the humanity of Mary.
Interesting.
And with the presentation and the finding, right? These are both moments where first at the presentation, Mary, Simeon tells her your heart a sword will pierce. Right, she gets a glimpse of that suffering, that the cross of her son that she's going to suffer as well, and then at the finding again, this kind of we tend to think Mary had it easy because she was born without original sin, conceived without original sin, and the fact is that actually made it harder for her, right, because she wasn't. She didn't understand everything, right?
Yes.
And this is clear when she finds Jesus. Jesus, is doing his own thing for 3 days, and his parents are searching frantically for him, And she says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Why have you done this to us?"
Yeah.
I mean, that is, there's so much fruit for meditation and reflection in that. You know, Mary, conceived without original sin, the mother of God, saying, "Son, why have you done this to us?"
Still had a cross to bear.
Yes.
Still had a cross to bear. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to just go back to what you were saying earlier, Father Charles, about how she's active and immediately after the Annunciation, mm-hmm. not just resting on her laurels, you know?
Yeah.
There's no selfie there. You know, she runs to help. She hurries to help Elizabeth. But if you think about it, that pattern continues, because if she wasn't active in following the suggestions of the angel and in seeking her son, she wouldn't be in so many family photos.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. she would have been sort of like sitting at home. We might forgive her for that, you know, just sitting at home, taking it all in, thinking it over, you know, but she's always following her son, and that's why she keeps showing up.
That's, yeah. The next, after the temple, the presentation, the finding of the temple, then we've got this long period of silence, 30 years, you know, maybe not that long if he was 12,
right.
But scripture says, and he was obedient to them, mm-hmm. the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the one whom angels shiver before out of awe and respected his awesomeness. He was obedient to them for 30 years, mm-hmm. okay, before his public ministry. Next, we find an amazing thing. She's there at the wedding feast of Cana. It says, and Jesus and his disciples, she was there, and Jesus' disciples showed up also. And that is the sign of his first miracle, where that his first miracle, the fruit of the first miracle is his disciples believe in him, but she already did. Mm-hmm. She asked the poor carpenter, they have no wine, as if he could do something about it. In my parish missions, because this is all a parish, part of a parish mission, I will go up to one of the audience members and say, Jim, guys, you know, whoever his name is, I say, St. Patrick's, we need $15 million. Okay, Jim, thanks. And invariably, he's looking at me like, what can I do about that? What can I do about that, you know? Well, that's not the reaction, because she knew who Jesus was. She knew his power and who his father was. And she went to go ask him, hey, there's a major problem about it to happen for this young couple. So you step in, do something here.
Wedding without wine is no fun.
Yeah.
Right. But it also shows her activity, that she's not just sitting back, well, I'll just sit back and see what he does. Like, yeah. No, she jumps in. You know, she involves herself and gets her son involved.
And in the life of someone she's not related to. Seems like she likes taking the needs of others to her son Jesus.
Yeah.
You get that picture from that. There's also another thing I've been thinking about, that do the work of an evangelist. Paul says, if you're a disciple, you're going to be doing the work of an evangelist. That the work of an evangelist is getting people to believe in Jesus.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Mary does the work of an evangelist. She gets the disciples themselves believing in Jesus.
Yes. And you said his first miracle, maybe just qualify that, say his first public miracle.
Yes.
Right? Because how does she know he can do something about it unless he's already shown that power?
Wonderful.
In Nazareth, you know.
Yes.
And one thought that I have here is that one of the reasons he's reluctant to perform a miracle in public is because he knows that's the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right? It's the beginning of the end for their domestic, quiet domestic life in Nazareth. And what a time of joy and peace that must have been for Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And Jesus knows, as soon as I do this, that's
it. It's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of suffering for me and my mother.
The next thing we have is, I'm looking at my writing here, the cross. And John 19, Mary is present there at the cross standing. There's a lot of significance to that, the different folks say. And that is where... So that's the photo. She's there, but she's not there inert. She's being engaged by the Lord. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And the disciple took her into her house, the mother of all the living, those living in Christ, mm-hmm. as you said. standing by the tree again with the ambassador of the human race, who's saying yes, not no, to God's plan. Mm-hmm. So that's that snapshot, the cross.
Yeah, and again, she, you know, she didn't have to be there. Who would blame a mother for not wanting to see the execution of her beloved son? But yet she's there. Mm-hmm. She's there.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Father Thomas, one thing we skipped over was we don't want to give the impression that we're being selective here, is when...
Oh, your mother and brother and are yes. here looking for you. That's right. That's I've got outside something, and that's it.
During his public ministry.
During his public ministry.
Yeah.
And Father Stephen, you had an insight in there.
Yeah, that she was following him the whole time. We're told earlier on that he would always, she would reflect on his words in her heart. That was when he said, as a 12-year-old, why are you seeking me? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? And Mary pondered those words in her heart. And she's still following him around. There's one passage where they reported in more of the one gospel, they say Jesus is speaking to people inside of a house, and they say your mother and your brothers are outside waiting for you.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who hear the word of God and keep it. And of course, we know that Mary does that better than anyone.
What a wonderful description to be called by the Lord. This is someone who's heard my word and has kept it.
Right.
And that's the word he uses on Our Lady.
Yes. And what he's saying there is she is first of all my mother, because she said, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Mm-hmm. Right. And right. You can have that same privilege or something like it. Right.
Yes.
Of being my mother, brother, sister, by doing the same thing. Right. So he's inviting people into his family. He's not excluding his family. He's saying, you can be my family too.
That's right? Great.
Right. Right. It doesn't have to do with whether you're related to me.
Yeah.
Directly in your family
through
tree.
Bloodlines.
You're related to me if you imitate my mother.
Yes.
Let it be done to me according to your word.
So the outside, they're looking for you. And she was looking for him. Two gospels present different moments like that. The next is the cross. She's there at that great miracle of the cross, the greatest act of love ever on the face of the earth. After that, and then this is when I'm amazed. She's there the next time the disciples are together in the upper room. Mm-hmm. Our Lady's there with them. Now, for me, if people that were with a family member ran away from him, denied him, left him on his moment of need, I don't know if I could be there with them. It would take an incredibly forgiving, understanding heart to be there. And Mary's there with them the first time they show up, right after the Ascension. Some authors think she may have been there at the Ascension. Mary and the women may have been there at the Ascension, but we won't go there. The next time we see her, she's there at Pentecost, the next great moment of our faith. And so she's there praying with the disciples. She who's full of grace, she's already completed in grace. So she must be praying that grace come to others. Hmm. And after that, we see that she is in Book of Revelation, the end, Our Lady in the end being crowned in glory right before the consummation of all things in the Lord Jesus. And that's the final snapshot of Our Lady being crowned in glory.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can interpret that image in the Book of Revelation, which is the report of a vision of St. John. You could understand that in two ways, as the church, crowned with 12 stars with the moon under her feet, or as Our Lady. I mean, obviously it probably should be interpreted both ways, but we see that again, Mary, just like at the beginning, for the Annunciation, she represents more than herself. She is the new Eve. And at the very end, she represents more than herself. She's the image of the church, purified, glorified.
The church at its best, and what every disciple should hope to be. Mm-hmm. Her last words at the wedding feast, do whatever he tells you, which every disciple tries to get that across in the work of the apostles and evangelists. She concretizes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe just a closing thought here is that what we've been doing here essentially is a kind of rosary, right? So when you pray the rosary, you could think of it that way. These are like snapshots. Mm-hmm. Yes. Family photos in our Lord's life, where our mother shows up, his mother shows up, our mother shows up, and then to make the Blessed Mother part of your family photos too, right?
That's great.
Where has the Blessed Mother shown up in your life? And
because she wants to be there.
She wants to. That's right.
She doesn't want to just sit at home. She wants to be there.
Right. And sometimes she may be in the background. You may not notice her, right? But she's there. She's watching over you. She's that maternal presence in your life.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Thomas Blau, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alca, the prior of the St. Patrick's Priory, and Father Charles Chunk. Father Charles Chunk. Please let us end now in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Son.